All right, we've been working our way through the thoughts on depravity. So this is number 15, dealing with the heart fully set to do evil. Ecclesiastes 8:11. And so we'll be dealing with that tonight. We'll use Ecclesiastes 8:11 as our main text. And we'll work our way through this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can learn from it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit that can open our understanding that we could understand the scripture. And so now, Father, I pray that you would bless this, Lord, to the hearts and minds and souls of the hearers. Glorify yourself in all that's done. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, depravity, number 15. dealing with the reality that because of sin is not judged speedily, people think they can get away with it. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so we find that because something doesn't happen immediately to people, the mind, the thoughts, and intent of the heart is, boy, it's prone to evil. And because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, what happens? The mind and the thoughts and the intents of the heart are wicked. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set. That word fully means that it is absolutely, completely set. Fully set. There's nothing else, no space for anything else, fully set. In them to do evil. Now, one of the things we've got to learn tonight is this. We've got to learn how the godless think. And in that little bit of knowledge, learning how the godless think, is going to speak volumes to you and me tonight. We're going to learn why they think like that. We're going to learn a lot of things, matter of fact. So let's begin. Psalm 10:4-13. Now, if you'll notice, I got verse 4, 5, and 6, and then I got verse 11, 12, and 13, okay? And so, something great here. Now, there's a little note. Let's read verse 4, and then I'm going to say something. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So now, God is not in all of his thoughts. So now, there's a couple things I want to teach you out of this. Number one, the godless are godless. Now, I know, I realize that's a profound statement, but it's true. The godless are godless. And it's something that we must realize. The godless are godless. Now, they will not seek after God, and God is not in all his thoughts. So here you've got this person, and you need to realize something. The foundation, now this is so important for you to get this. Matter of fact, I'm going to do something right now. Let's do this, all right? I want you to get this. To start off with, in verse 5, it says, His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of His sight. As far as His enemies, He puffeth at them. In other words, what that verse 5 is telling you and me, the wicked are set to do wicked because he sees no judgment from God. He sees no judgment from God. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. So he sees no judgment. But now let's do this. You ready to take these apart? You've got to see that this is so good. In verse 4, Psalm 10, 4, it said the wicked through the pride. So pride is going to be the character trait that's going to produce self-centeredness. Pride. Now watch this. What does pride do? It's listed right here in this verse. Pride. Look at verse 6. He hath said in his heart. See that? Verse 11. He hath said in his heart. Verse 13, the last part of that. He has said in his heart. See that? What you've got here, pride is the problem, because what does it do? It causes this wicked person to focus on self, the pride of his countenance. Will not seek after God. God's not in all of his thoughts. Why? Because why should he think about God when he's thinking about himself? He's all about himself. Now watch this. When we look at this, in verse 5 it says, his ways. You see that? It's all about him. Look at verse 6 now. Let's take it apart. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Wow. He's got a bad case of eye trouble, doesn't he? I. See that? He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. See, pride causes him, boy, to focus on his self, to speak about his self. Look at verse 11. This is Psalm 10, 11. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Huh. Just think about this. When you look at verse 6, 11, and 13, it's all about self-talk, self-talk, self-talk. And it is all unscriptural. Every bit of it is a lie. Watch it. All right, verse 6. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. Self-talk. He's talking to himself. He has said in his heart. You see that? And I shall not be moved. You want to bet? You're putting yourself above God? Well, of course, because the only thing he sees is himself. He doesn't see God. Right? That's what it says. All right, verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. That's a lie. What do you mean he'll never see it? what you should have said, he's never been blind to it. That's the truth, isn't it? And so we see here then, he's lying to himself. God has forgotten it. He hided his face. He'll never see it. Wow. What a low opinion of God. Of course, he doesn't think much of God anyway, right? But he sure does think a lot of himself, doesn't he? Look at verse 13 now. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. You want to bet? You see, depravity, one of the things about depravity, it's manifested in the human person by pride. And what does pride do? It causes you to focus on yourself. He hath said in his heart. He hath said in his heart. He hath said in his heart. Self-talk. And self-talk is always disastrous. So we find then, because Ecclesiastes 8:11 at the top, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. Why is that? It's because he's filled with pride. And unless God does something right then, well, man, his pride, he's going to have a lot of self-talk, right? And when you look at his self-talk, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. Self-talk. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. God didn't see it. Self-talk. He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Self-talk. Every bit of that is unscriptural. There's not one truth in any of that. And you see, the most dangerous liar you can be around is yourself. When you lie to yourself, you're in real danger. And pride causes you to focus on self. Self-talk. Now let me do this for you real quick. All right? For those of you that might want to write this down. Now watch this. Here we go. Now we're going to look at Psalm 10. Now here we go. Verse 4 is pride. Verse 5, no fear of God. Verse 6, self-talk. Verse 11, self-talk. Verse 13, self-talk. And it's all lies. He's lying to himself. You see, so because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, this person thinks God's not going to require anything of it. I got away with it. No, no. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Wow. What a thought. But why is it? That's why. Okay? So we find in those few verses right there, it's pretty well loaded with stuff, isn't it? All right, now let's go to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, chapter 12, 25, 26, 27. And here's what we find in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. I want you to know that there's a time with God when grace is over with. There's a time with God when God says, I'm done with you. And we can see that as we go through the Word of God, whether it be the flood or the things that God brought upon Israel. And so what I want you to see now is this. The reality that we have to face. And because when God says it's over, it's over. That's all there is to it. So you can be like this guy in Psalm 10 and lie to yourself in your pride and arrogance, lie to yourself. But you better stop and see what God has to say about it. Ezekiel 12, verse 25. I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Now, the first thing that I want you to see, God's word shall come to pass, okay? Now, if I stop right there, we can say, well, it's going to happen, but he doesn't say when. But he's telling you it's going to happen, right? But now let's read the rest of the verse. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. God's word shall come to pass, but that verse ends with, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. God himself will make his word happen. God himself is going to make his word happen. The person that lives in pride and arrogance, when I read this, he says, he has said in his heart, I'm not going to be moved. You won't bet? Let's go to verse 26 now. Ezekiel 12, 26. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Focus on those words, those last few words, prophesy of the times that are far off. They want to find an excuse to do what they're doing now. So what they say is, well, whatever Jeremiah is prophesying is far off. Don't listen to him right now, because what's happening, what he's talking about, is something that's going to happen far off from here, a long time from here. Now, that's tragic. I mean, people will find any excuse they can to do what they want to do in the present. You see, if there's no fear of God, then they'll look at this and say, well, hey, that's far off, you know. The reality of it is this. There's a lot of reality to it. It's appointed unto a man once to die, then comes the judgment. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. The reality of it is this: even if it's far off, you still got to deal with it. Listen, we must always live in the present with God, because God lives in the eternal present, doesn't he? And so when I look at this, and verse 27, Son of man, behold, the house of Israel say. In other words, well, he's prophesying that, but let's not take that serious today. He's talking about something that's going to happen far off, way down the road. It's amazing how people want to take the bite out of prophecy. They want to take the sting out of reality. They want to take the burden away from God's word of doing it. They want to take the alarm away from the judgment of God. And so they're going to say something to try to keep you, me, themselves from being obedient to the word of God today. They're going to try to do something to keep you and me, boy, from being alarmed at the word of God. Oh, that's far off. Don't worry about it. Yeah, you better worry about it. You say far off, and you're going to get up in the morning and find out it was just a few hours away. Now, let me take a few moments here and deal with Ezekiel 12, 28. Now, I circled the first part of verse 28 where it says, therefore say unto them. Therefore say unto them. In other words, God is telling Jeremiah, they've said this as far off. But in verse 28, God is saying, therefore, Jeremiah, you say unto them, I mean Ezekiel. There, Ezekiel, say unto them. You see that? In Ezekiel 12, 28, therefore say unto them. Oh. Now, God is going to bring, they've said it's far off. But now God tells Ezekiel, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. Time is up, judgment is no longer far off, but it's fixing to be present. They said it's far off. God said, my word which I have spoken shall be done. You see, ladies and gentlemen, at least God corrected the wrong attitude, the wrong words of the people of Israel. They said far off, and God said, Ezekiel, you go tell them. No, my word's not going to be prolonged anymore. It's going to happen when I say it. Time is up. Judgment is no longer far off. It's fixing to be present. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that ought to stand out to you and me when it comes to this is the reality in verse 27 of what people say. Verse 28, the reality is what God says. So when I read this, it just screams at me. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Therefore say unto them. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a reality to this. Therefore say unto them. In other words, God tells me a time when I hear people say something that's just absolutely wrong. It's just like God telling me, hey, say something to them. Hey, that's what they're espousing, what they believe. They're espousing what they want to believe. But now, Ezekiel, you go tell them the truth. Here's the truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you and I must deal with truth. We must deal in truth. Not what we think, not what we want, not what we as we see it. No. We must deal in truth. Therefore say unto them, wow, thus saith the Lord God, there shall be none of my words be prolonged anymore. Oh, that's a reality, isn't it? I want you to know when God goes to move, we might say, well, that's going to happen tomorrow, next week. No, it's going to happen in the near future. Matter of fact, there's an old country guy. I think years ago, that was one of his sermons. He preached about on the subject of God's in the near future. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3 and 4. All right. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Knowing this first. I want you to know, if you go through the Word of God, you'd only find a couple of times where you find that statement where it says first. Do this first. Know this first. Okay? Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, these scoffers, what they want to do is they want to discourage you. They want to make mockery of you. They want you to be just the blunt of their jokes. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now let's go back up. I want you to read Ecclesiastes 8:11 again. That's where we started at the top. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Okay? Now drop down to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. All things will happen in God's time. Now, some of you might have heard the name Voltaire. Okay? Now, Voltaire was an activist against Christianity. He joked about Christianity, said by the time he died, it'd be off the face of the earth and dead and gone and everything. And he was speaking at a conference. He was very outspoken about the things that he'd done. And he said, I'm going to prove to you there is no God. And boy, everybody got quiet. And he pulled out a stopwatch. He said, he looked up toward heaven, cussed God, shook his fist in God's face, and carried on. He said, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to do something if you want to. And, of course, nothing happened because God does things on his time. And Voltaire said, see, I challenged God and he didn't take the challenge. All things will happen in God's time, not your time. It's kind of funny, Bo, when Voltaire died, the Bible Society bought his house and turned it into a Bible printing ministry and distribution of Bibles all over the world. So, a little revenge there. God got a laugh out of that one, didn't he? But now listen. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. When man looks at man, he can become very blind to truth. For somebody to say all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, that's not true. Because things started off and there was this thing called the flood, wasn't there? A lot of things have happened since the time of creation. And now we are in the end time, and look at what's happening. So you see, now in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days those scoffers themselves are a manifestation to the saved people that prophecy is true. So for these people to say, hey, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, it almost makes you want to belly laugh because they're standing right there, right? Proving that the word of God is true. Proving they're making mockery of it, not knowing therefore they themselves are fulfilling prophecy. For it says, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Is that right? But it says that there shall come in the last days. See that? So I want you to know, when we look at Ecclesiastes 8:11, we find the heart fully set to do evil. Why? Well, because judgment didn't come quick. Well, because it didn't come quick now, these wicked people are going to be ruled by pride. And the first thing that gives them freedom. When you look at Psalm 10, 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, pride, when it takes over, notice, his ways are always grievous, as verse 5, thy judgments are far above out of his sight. When pride takes over, he has no fear of God anymore. The person that's eat up with pride has no fear of God. So his self-talk is always going to be about himself. The self-talk, verse 6. Self-talk, verse 11. Self-talk, verse 13. What's that? It's all pride. And then what do we find? Pride is going to blind us to the reality of God. Ezekiel 12, 25. I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Well, this person up there in Psalm 10 could care less, huh? You see, folks, for a saved person, the one grand thing that we have is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, showing us that these scoffers, that these people that's God haters, they're just so filled with pride, they have no idea that they themselves are fulfilling prophecy and proving to you and me that the word of God is true. They look at it and say, look at me, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do. They're all stuck on themselves, right? And the saved person sitting back here looking at it and saying, you know what the Bible's told me about you? Keep on talking. You're fulfilling prophecy. So in closing, I want you to know something. God's going to judge sin. And when God goes to judge sin, people might say, well, it's far off. It's not going to happen. Whatever. But in Ezekiel 12, 28, we find, therefore say unto them. Had a conversation with a fellow, and we were talking, and he said, well, I've got a question. He virtually stopped me and said, I have a question. I said, okay, what is it? He said, now, if somebody says they're saved and they get off into sin, he said, what do you think about that? I said, well, what do you think about it? You started this conversation, you tell me. He said, well, are they lost? I said, man, listen, if you'd read your Bible, you'd know something. I said, let's talk about Hebrews 12, 6, 7, and 8. I said, the difference between the saved and the lost person is simply this. If you're saved, God's going to discipline you. God is not a deadbeat dad. It says, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. That's what it says. I said, one of the marks of a lost person is the fact they can get into sin, live in sin, and God doesn't chastise them and discipline them. But if they're saved, then God is going to deal with them. Many years ago, when Jack Van Impe was still halfway decent, Mr. Bible, he preached a message at a big conference. And what he done, the message, he took that Hebrews 12, 6, 7, and 8, and he just, that's what he preached on, the fact that if you can live in sin, you're lost. But if you think, if you get into sin and God starts beating on your conscience and beating on you and disciplining you, that's the marks of a saved person. And that's a truth today. And so I want you to know, as we look at this, because sinning against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That's the heart and mind and soul of a lost person. And then when pride takes over, it's self-talk. But then God says, therefore, say unto them. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, go back and read these verses. Because if you get it in your head, he hath said in his heart, and he hath said in his heart, and he hath said in his heart. If you do a lot of self-talk, and it's that type of talk, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, so on, you might be in real trouble. Because the Bible says, we should pray and say, Lord, what's it say now? What? If you will. God told us, if he wills, we'll do this or that. If we live, we'll do this or that. You see, the importance of God's will in our life. The importance of God's will in our life. That's what makes the difference. Not just the circumstances, but God's will. Amen. Gather around. Let's pray.